Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So Luther was really, really concerned and bothered by the question of what justifies a person? What makes that person righteous before God? See, the focus, as you could tell, had been on works righteousness. You do good works and you receive grace and you receive God's righteousness. And then you do more works and you receive more grace and righteousness. And you do more works and you receive more grace and righteousness. So you earn righteousness, you earn justification, being right with God. So the more you do, the more you get. You work your way up to God. You climb the ladder up to God. And that's what's called a theology or a view of God of glory, meaning God will glorify you as you're making your way up the ladder. The way you make your way up the ladder is by doing good works. Well, Luther uncovered that you can't earn your way up to God. You can't buy your way through the sale of merits, because that was a shortcut to the good works that you were doing. You know, just buy some good merits. You can't do that. Now, that's a tough thing for us to understand. We may think we understand it, but we really don't. You know why? Because that's a system that we're used to here on earth. From the point in which we are a child, I mean, look at these children, right? It's all about good behavior. Good behavior, you get something. Good behavior, you get a star. It's all about good behavior. There's a reward to good behavior. I've used it with my kids, you've used it with your kids. Because you want them to grow into adults who have good behavior. But then it gets perpetuated in school, right? If you do good work, you're rewarded for it. And that's called a grading system, right? Now all of a sudden, for the first time in our life, we're understanding, am I an A? Am I a B? Am I a C? What am I? Based on my performance, I get rated on that. How do you get into college? You have to take an SAT. Or an ACT. The higher the score, the greater chances you're going to get in. And if you're not sure if you're going to get in or not, well, maybe you just go to the school and say, hey, I'm going to give you $50,000. Oh, by the way, my kids come to school here. Right. Let's face it. That's kind of like the selling of a, you know, buying of merits. How do I get in? I'll give you $50,000. Or maybe if you don't want it to be that obvious, you cheat. And you have someone change test scores, as we've just seen in the news. Anything to be able to get your child into school. And then what happens when you graduate college? You go to work. What happens when you go to work? Your goal is to climb the ladder, right? Supposed the way it's supposed to. Well, first of all, how do you get in? Well, if your father or your mother knows somebody, that's really good. And you know, it's really interesting. I hear the stuff downstairs, the golfers talking. You know, my son's coming out of college. Ah, don't worry. He's got a job. Not to worry about it. He'll be taken care of. You know, these connections, right? So these are the circumvents of the merit system. But then when you get in, what happens? You climb your way up to the top. You do good work, you get rewarded. You do more good work, you get rewarded. Some people happen to get more rewards than other people. Sometimes it doesn't make sense. Sometimes the system works, sometimes the system doesn't work. But it's all about achievement, being an achiever, earning. And before I left Chase, JP Morgan Chase, it was meritocracy. Meritocracy. Merit-based reward system. And you know something? That's how this world works. And we just normally think that's how God works. The more good you do, the more you will earn God's righteousness. We miss that God has done a brand new thing in Jesus Christ. We not only miss it, we keep missing it. Even when we grasp it for just a second, we lose it because it doesn't make any sense to us. We think God operates like us. We think we have to earn God's love. We think we have to earn God's acceptance. We think we have to earn God's righteousness. See, that's justification as we understand it. But it's not God's justification. And what happened is the church began to operate in that way. That was the system. But the system changed when God came to us. And we miss that all the time. Paul realized it. God revealed what God is all about to Paul. And this revelation was then made to Luther. God came to us. God is righteous. We are not. That's a tough one, isn't it? God is righteous. We are not. God is divine. We are not. We don't earn God's righteousness. It is given to us freely. It's not what we do. It's all about what God does, and only God. But we'll say God alone. So where there were three, actually four, but I'm going to focus on three solas. S-O-L-A-S. Sola is the feminine pronoun, and solus is the more masculine pronoun for whatever the word is that will come after that. Solas. Alone. Unaccompanied. So the first solas is sola fide. Only faith. Faith alone. Pistos Christos. Tough translation. You know why? Because it can be translated as it's not our faith, but God's faithfulness toward us, the faith of Christ, the faith that Christ had. Or it could be it's not about what is, oh, sorry, it's about whom we trust in, faith in Christ. So it could be the faith of Christ, faith in Christ. We say it's both and in that particular case. So it's not about what it is that we believe, it's in whom we believe. It is in whom we trust. The belief part is the trust, the person, the object of our trust is God. How many of you are ready for a surgery or have gone to a surgeon? Who are you putting your trust in all honesty? The surgeon! Yeah, we'll say God, but really? You are giving yourself, you're going under. Do you trust your surgeon? You better. Otherwise, pick another surgeon, right? That's the kind of trust. You have now placed your hands into this person. And yes, God is working through that person. But think about it. That's the kind of trust we're talking about. The kind of trust where you are knocked out and that surgeon is going to heal you. That's the person. That's the kind of trust. And trusting yourself to God. And when you trust like that, you are totally letting go of yourself. Sola fide. The next sola, the next alone, the next only, is sola gratia, grace alone. God's grace, we say, is a free gift. We are made right with God through Jesus Christ. Many times we're told, well, it's a free gift, but I have to accept it. I want to ask you this question. We have been given the gift of life. Did you accept it?
No.
It was given to you. You were born. You didn't tell your parents, hey, I'd like to be born. No. You were born. You didn't accept. It happened. That is the kind of gift that we're talking about. Grace is God's unconditional love, God's sovereign love, which is not dependent on the worth or the worthlessness of the object to which that grace is given. The gospel, the good news, does not ask us to do anything at all. We do not have to achieve anything. We don't have to meet any requirements. Every single person is loved equally by God. We are loved exactly as we are. Every single person is loved by God. It's not based on what we do. It's all based on God. The thief on the cross. The thief on the cross, who rightly knew, I deserve the punishment that I am getting. I deserve this. This man does not deserve this. This man has done nothing. What does this thief say? Remember me when you come into your kingdom. And what does God say? Today you will be with me in paradise. There's no speak of judgment there. Today you will be with me in paradise. Grace. There's a story about Jimmy Carter and Richard Nixon, and I like to fact check things before I say it, so I'm fact checking, and some say, yeah, it's true, some say it's not true. I don't care whether or not it's true. I like the story, I'm going to tell it. So the story is that Hubert Humphrey is dying. He is the vice president, or he was the vice president to Lyndon Johnson. And so he invites Richard Nixon to his funeral. He wants him to come to the White House where the prior presidents will gather. Now this is post, God bless you, post Watergate, a few years after Watergate. Jimmy Carter is president. And so Richard Nixon comes to the White House. Now, I don't exactly think he left the White House on good terms, would you say? Right? He didn't leave on good terms. He resigned. It came out that he had done things that were not appropriate for a president in office, in condoning the break-in of the Watergate Hotel and the headquarters of the other party. And so he comes to the White House because he's invited to come to the White House. And they say that he's standing in the corner, and others are like walking by him like, you know that judgment? Like, what the heck is he doing here? Really? He's got some nerve. And so in walks Jimmy Carter, and Jimmy Carter sees what's going on, goes right over to him, and says to him, welcome home. Welcome home. Come, let's get a group picture. Grace. Grace is offensive, and I say this all the time, that if we truly understand grace, it's offensive to us because it is not our way. It is undeserved. The law that is being talked about here is important for civil society to maintain order. But what Paul is saying here is what the law shows us as spiritual people of God, is that we are all equally sinful. We cannot keep the law. And so the law points us to grace, that we need God's grace. Grace only, grace alone. And the third one is solos Christos, Christ alone. As Christians, we may say we're Christians. We forget the beginning part of that word, Christ. We are Christ-centered people. This is the heart of the gospel, of the good news. Jesus is the focus of the Reformation. The incarnate Son of God, God in the flesh, who comes and experiences our joys and our pains. God, our Savior, who is crucified, the one who takes on our sins and gives his very life so that we are clothed with God's righteousness, so we are reconciled. What's called the happy exchange. You know when you get married, one person may be no issues whatsoever with their debt and another person drowning in debt. You get married, what happens? The one who had no debt becomes drowning in the debt. Yet, the one who had no debt and knows how to get out of debt helps that other person to become so. That is the happy exchange that's being talked about here. God takes our sins and God clothes us with God's righteousness. This is the mystery. We try to figure it out. We try to systematically figure out how all that works, because that's our brains to try and figure it out. Just relax and say, it's a mystery. I don't understand it, but I thank God for it. This mystery, the redemption of us through the death and resurrection, because it's just a death. Not good, is it?
No.
The resurrection, the rising up of new people and new life. Paul says, he who knew no sin, God made to be sin for us, so that in him we may become the righteousness of God. It is God's doing. It is all God's doing. It is not ours. The cross is God's way of bringing reconciliation. The cross is God's healing the rift between us. The cross brings peace. We do nothing. God does it all. I always say God is a verb. There is your verb. God does it all. We, however, are called. The however part here is not a condition. It's not an if-then. If I do this, then you do that. No. But what we're called, as our hearts begin to understand this, is to be the bearer of this love. To let this love that we are given dwell in our hearts and believe it. Believe that you are a beloved child of God. And then live into that love. Believe it for yourself and believe it for others. This is the heart of the reforming of the church then, and it must be the heart of the reforming of the body of Christ today. These justifying alone. Sola fide, sola gratia, and solus Christus. It is not I, what I do, but Christ, what Christ has done. And we sing that song, not I, but Christ. This is life-changing stuff. Carl and I, we were on a different trajectory. I actually said that word. And then, as I began to understand this free gift and the alones and the onlys, we stepped off that and our whole life changed. Because we realized people need to know this. Because this world will always tell you, you're not good enough and you need to achieve more. And this is what God says, you are good enough. You are my beloved child. I am the one who has restored you and who has made you righteous. Faith alone, God's faithfulness to us and our trust, our faith in God. Grace alone, God's accepting us exactly as we are, God's work, not us earning or buying God's love. And Christ alone, the cross of Christ, accomplished. All of this is accomplished in the death and resurrection. Alone, unaccompanied, without our help. Sola scriptura, all of this is found in Scripture. These solas, these are the heartbeat of the Reformation. The heartbeat. May this be the very heartbeat of your life, so that your life may be reformed for the sake of this world, who needs desperately to hear this message. So go forth from this place today and speak to grace alone, to faith alone, to Christ alone. Amen.
Amen. Amen.